You may be seated. Just kidding. Our scripture readings this morning are taken from Numbers 11 and Acts chapter 2. So Numbers 11, starting in verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad, not Medad, dad joke, that was great. Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. How's it going? Hey, I'll just say this. So anytime you do something different in worship like this, it can kind of go like one of two ways, right? Like if you come in and you don't just go for it, and you don't just like embrace the weirdness, it'll just be awkward. And awkward is horrible. I don't like awkward. I can't watch The Office because it's just too awkward for me. But if you come in and you just dive in and you just go for it and you're like, yes, it's weird. Yes, we're eating breakfast. Yes, we're sitting around round tables. Who cares? I'm going to go talk to people anyway. It will be amazing. This actually makes me feel sort of nostalgic because back in the day, you know, pre-pandemic and a while back, we used to do this fairly regularly. And actually, we've been in this high school in some way, shape, or form for almost 13 years, pandemic time excepted. And in that time, weird stuff happens in a high school. And so one time, well, they had to reupholster the seats, the beautiful seats in the auditorium. They had to reupholster them. Don't they look great? And so we had to move here or in the hallway for worship for like an entire summer one time. And then another time, a light fixture apparently just fell in the auditorium, and so we had to like clear out in that worship here because it's apparently bad if like fixtures fall on people's heads when they're in the auditorium. So this kind of brings back some memories, and it's fun. Today is mostly about us just building community together and having fun. So this is all going to be pretty short, but we do want to have a few moments where we share some thoughts about our lectionary text for today. But I feel left out that Curtis always gets to do the cahoots. So today we're doing two cahoots. We're doing another cahoot. So get your phone out again. Yes, Noah, you can use my phone again for the second cahoot. And this one's going to be hard. I'm keeping it real. This one's going to be difficult. But there is a $25 Starbucks gift card on the line. We give out good prizes, so you're going to want to engage. So in a moment, once they sort the tech stuff out, which I don't know anything about, The game pin will come up. It says it's gonna go to sleep, which feels like a bad thing. Can you just tell it not to sleep? Just touch the screen, maybe that'll make it go away. There it is. Awesome. All right, there's the code 905-2944. So pull it up, put your thing in. And while you're doing that, I just wanted to give a quick caveat to all of this. I must admit, I always feel a bit conflicted when we get out our phones at church. I kind of feel like smartphones and the atomized existence that they are creating in our culture is part of what's causing our society to unravel and our mental slash spiritual health to take a bit of a nosedive these days. So in principle, I don't ever want to do anything that encourages you all to take out your phones and live your lives staring at them. But in this particular case, it's a fun way for us to do something together, a nice communal experience, so we'll allow it. But generally speaking, staring at your phone right this minute, good. Staring at your phone the other 99.9% of life, bad. Don't do it. That was especially for the teenagers and younger in the room. Okay, with that out of the way, are we about ready to play the game? I'll give you a minute. You're still trying to find the page. It's kahoot.it, and you just outed yourself as being late, by the way. Because we already did one of these. So you haven't, like, loaded up ready to go. We know. Sorry, you weren't the only one. I was actually shocked by how many people were on time slash early today. That's the surprise. All right, are we there? Are we close? By the way, who was the devourer of souls earlier? I figured. Sam, devourer of souls. All right, are we ready? All right. Hold on, wait. We're still waiting. You just play in your hearts. All right, we good? Maybe? All right, let's click on it. This is my first time, probably gonna mess this all up. This is a Pentecost themed game. So we're gonna test some actual knowledge here. I hope you're ready. Everybody shrugged. Everybody's like, no, true or false? Acts 2 tells the story of the first ever Pentecost. True or false?
I'm not very good at these trivia, so I might, but that's okay, it's just a game.
I love how long it's taking you to answer this question. The answer was false. Pentecost had been around for a very long time before it became a Christian thing at all, people. All right, next one. Balling right now, like three people got it right. All right, next one. Pentecost is the Greek name for an ancient Jewish festival. Which one? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of King's Landing? Yes, well, different than Jaws questions, isn't it? Uh-huh. I'm the meaner one. Okay, the correct answer was the Feast of Weeks. Also known as Shavuot in Hebrew. I'm trying to decide whether you all hate me right now. Okay, next question. Pentecost in Greek means day of fire, 50th, day of the Spirit, or International Wine Day.
I
I think this one's easy.
The answer is 50th. Pentecost means 50th. All right, next question. Doctor Strange is winning. Makes sense. It was 50th. Pentecost got its Greek name because it's the 50th day after what Jewish celebration? Hanukkah, Passover, Sukkot, or the Day of Atonement? By the way, we've gone over this in sermons like multiple times before, people. You're clearly not taking good enough notes. The correct answer was Passover. We got better results on that one. So Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. All right. Next question. At Pentecost, what story in Exodus do the Jewish people celebrate? Is it A, the Exodus from Egypt, B, the water from the rock, C, worshiping the golden calf, or D, giving of the law at Mount Sinai? Correct answer was giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Exodus from Egypt is Passover, y'all. And then at Pentecost is the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. I'm not shaming. The shame, that's for your business. Funky is now in the lead. All right, next question. This is fun for me, by the way. In Exodus 19, when God appears to Moses at Sinai, what does it say he descended on the mountain in? What phenomenon does he descend on the mountain in? Thunder, rain, fire, or a chariot pulled by unicorns? It's obviously D. The answer was D. Fire. You might notice the parallel between the fire in Exodus 19 and the fire in our story from today. Next question. Vanilla Viper? That's a great name. In 2012, we did a sermon series on Pentecost in the story of Acts 2. What was the title of that sermon series? Drunk in the morning, the fire rises, sinners in the hands of an angry God, or every tongue in every nation? This is an interesting Rorschach test for what you think of us. The correct answer was drunk in the morning, people. Best sermon series title ever. Nobody showed up drunk in the morning, just so you know. I don't think. I don't know for sure. All right, true or false? It was actually common to find people, occasionally, drunk in the morning, at the Feast of Weeks in the temple in Jerusalem. True or false? Correct answer is true. It was, this was a week-long joyous celebration of the giving of the law. Sometimes people ate and drank wine with community and friends all night, and in the morning they were still not quite there yet. So the accusation in our Acts 2 story, not that wild and outlandish. All right, next question. Whoa. Okay, when the Spirit descends in tongues of fire on the disciples, what is the first thing that it enables them to do? Levitate, heal people, speak in foreign languages, or beatbox?
Beatbox.
I will accept multiple correct answers in this one. The correct answers were speak in foreign languages and beatbox. Just because. I assume that's a foreign language. All right, last one. This is Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial beginning of summer. Who made the classic 90s summer anthem, Summertime? Was it Jay-Z, Wilson Phillips, Boyz II Men, or DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince? What's going to break my heart is that we're going to do way better on this question than all of these questions. If anybody puts Wilson Phillips, you automatically win. Somebody did, actually. So it was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. You're welcome. All right. The winner, third place, was Corey question mark? Funky. And then the winner was Dr. Strange.
George.
Who is Dr. Strange? Like I said, the winner is Funky. Who won? Here you go. There you go. Enjoy. Feel free to hit Curtis on your way over there. All right. Let's see if we can rein it in for a minute. I'm sorry for ruining everyone's day and shaming you for not knowing all of the Bible trivia answer questions. It's okay. This is a place of grace and love and acceptance. It's all good. All right, so hopefully, that game highlighted this a bit. But the story of Pentecost in Acts 2 is a pretty wild and fascinating story. Tongues of fire somehow descend out of heaven, representing the Spirit of God being poured out on the disciples, and suddenly they can speak previously unknown languages, unknown to them at least. The amazing good news about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the forgiveness and new life that's available through them can now suddenly be heard by all sorts of people from all over the world, presumably to then, after this festival, go back out into the world sharing all of that amazing beauty. And though some of these elements probably seem bizarre, none of it is an accident. The story is meant to call back, as we tried to highlight in the game, to the story of God descending on Mount Sinai in fire and giving his Torah, his law, his guidance to his people, which was a seminal moment in their life together as a people in God's movement in the world, which, of course, was the story that they were all there in Jerusalem to celebrate together at the Feast of Weeks. All of these images would have called to mind immediately. They knew exactly what was happening. The whole point here is that God was giving his law, his Torah, his guidance, his word anew, like he had done at Sinai all those centuries ago, but now it was happening in an even more transcendent and intimate way. As the prophet Jeremiah had once promised, he was writing his law directly on people's hearts, rather than simply on tablets of stone or scrolls of parchment. And this story is fulfilling another promise that God had long been making to his people. Isaiah and other prophets told us over and over that one day the word of God would go out from Jerusalem to the whole world, every tribe and nation and tongue. This is it. Acts 2 is it. This is the moment. Pentecost is the story of God's movement in the world getting simultaneously infinitely deeper and infinitely wider. God was now going to make his home within us, each and every one of us, in a deeper way than ever, and his love was now going to go out into the world in a more expansive way than ever before. This is a truly amazing story. When we can get past the shock and awe of those bizarre elements at first and we see how it's all connected to the Jewish story and their history and their worship, it's an amazing story. Mysterious phenomena taking place. Miraculous abilities suddenly possessed. It tells us later in the story that 3,000 people were baptized almost immediately that day. But here's the thing. I actually don't think that any of that is the most amazing part of the story. I think the most amazing part of the story is what happens next. Right after our story for the day, Acts 2 tells us this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I find this so fascinating. After this amazing mountaintop experience, where all this utterly bizarre stuff happens, the result was, drumroll please, they lived in community. They spent time together. They broke bread and ate together with gratitude and sincerity. They shared their lives, their joys and sorrows. They took care of one another's needs. They didn't compete with one another and store up resources to maintain a sense of control over their lives. They gave generously to others and trusted that others would be there whenever the shoe was on the other foot. One of the things that never ceases to amaze me in Scripture is how the miraculous and the mundane are so intimately tied together. I can almost hear their thoughts after this. That was crazy. Did you see those tongues of fire? Did you hear me speaking in that language? That guy totally understood me. It was nuts. I've never seen anything like that. What do you want to do now? I don't know. You want to go get something to eat? Sure. Hey, the tomb is empty. We all have been given the Spirit. A whole new reality has begun. What do you want to do now? I don't know. You want to go play Uno? Sometimes I think that we think that faith and worship is only the big romantic mountaintop experiences. And so sometimes if something doesn't seem epic enough, we just don't do it. We just don't make time for it. Or the things that seem small and mundane, like living in community, building relationships, having conversations with one another, we just can't seem to find the time to do them. But what if the miraculous and the mundane are inextricable from one another? What if the mundane actually is miraculous on its own merits? What if, in a world of loneliness, community was a miracle? What if, in a world of competition, practical grace and love were miracles in and of themselves? Get it, girl? What if the most sacred things that you could do were really, really simple? In the Old Testament, there's this story of this great Aramean warrior named Naaman, who had leprosy. He was this incredible warrior and led armies, but he had leprosy, which was obviously a shameful and a painful thing. And he was sent to the prophet Elisha for healing, and Elisha didn't even come out of his house when the guy shows up to be healed. He simply sends a servant out and says, go bathe yourself in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And at first, Naaman is like super offended by this. And he refuses to go because he expected some epic healing, some big spectacular thing to be done for him. Being told to just go bathe in some river in Israel was just not dramatic enough. It was too easy. It was beneath him. And he was like, no. But his servant said, if he had asked you to do some great feat, would you have done it in order to be healed? And he said, yes. So he said, well, then why not? Why not go do the simple, the mundane thing and just see? So he went and he did it and he was healed. I think that's a great question for us, particularly in our day and time. I don't know how many of you read or listen to Andy Crouch, but Andy Crouch had a really, really fascinating talk recently where he talked about how we have an impact fetish in our culture. We're obsessed with impact, but real life, real spirituality doesn't work like that. Impact is an immediate thing. It's like we need everything to be big and immediate, but that's not how real life and real faith worked. I think this is a great question for all of us. Suppose God chose to hide some of the most miraculous things in the world in the mundane. Suppose your healing and restoration could be found in something so simple you'd want to shrug it off rather than do it. Something like community, connection, friendship, like breaking bread together with glad and sincere hearts and knowing what one another's problems are. Would you do it? Would you do it? I'm going to invite the worship team back up here. And we're just going to sing one more song. And then we're just going to hang out. I mean, we're literally going to hang out and goof around for as long as we can. There's cornhole back there. There's other games here. There's seats over here for the youth to get together and goof around. I want to issue you a little bit of a challenge, though. I noticed when we came in, everybody did a great job at sitting near people that they know pretty well already. I'm going to give you the challenge. We're going to stand up to sing the last song. So why don't we go ahead and do that? Why don't we just go ahead and stand up? Community and friendship are worship. So we're going to sing a song, and then we're done. I want everybody to like move around and go sit in a different spot. And your homework assignment is this: learn two people's names that you don't know. And then next week, see if you can remember them. And see if you can say hi next week. I don't know. Come up with some strategy. It's like say their name over and over. It'll be awkward right now, but you'll remember next week. So let's bow our heads and pray really fast. And then we'll sing a song. And then we'll just get back to worshiping by building community. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that the miraculous and the mundane are often one and the same. Help us to be willing to do the things that are so simple we want to just shrug them off. Help us to live together in love and grace, not always need epicness. We love you. We thank you that your spirit is upon us, that it helps us overcome these awkward moments, overcome our fear of vulnerability. Help us to take a step towards other people. We love you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.